morning. It is time to get up with the Rodgers route out of Green Bay. Wait until you hear the comparison one executive made. The Packers aren't going to like it. Meanwhile, did a former Steeler throw shade at his old team? And more importantly, was he right? We'll get to the answer. And then, what the actual heck happened here? We will tell you how easily all of this could have been avoided. All that and more as we get up with you, starting right now. You should have seen the smile on the face of Chris Canty as he went to the fisticuffs right there. He looks like he's ready to mix it up right now. He's ready to go. So are Kimberly Martin and Ryan Clark. We got a ton of Aaron Rodgers news to get to, but we must begin with fight night at Madison Square Garden. They've hosted a lot of great fights in that building over the years. Very few more spectacular than this one. Rangers Capitals. Now, here's why this happened. Flashing back to Monday night, the Capitals' Tom Wilson, who, to be kind, has a history of crossing the line. First, he punches the back of Pavel Buchnevich's head while he's lying on the ice. Then he grabs the Rangers star, Artemi Panarin, and does all sorts of terrible things to him. Panarin is out for the season. And then Wilson was not suspended. Instead, he was fined just $5,000. So the Rangers basically said, if the NHL isn't going to take care of business, we're going to have to. So last night, this is the opening faceoff. No one was even thinking about playing hockey at that moment. Tom Wilson, by the way, not even on the ice yet. And we have immediate fighting and we have immediate penalties and we got people in the box and feeling shame. And then just 49 seconds later, Tom Wilson comes on the ice and it takes less than 5 seconds before Brendan Smith finds him and the gloves are dropped. Again, it is 4.8 seconds that Wilson is on the ice and now we got more fisticuffs and we got more guys in the box. Again, the emotions running high. Now we're going to go 3 minutes and 24 seconds later. We got another fight. This would just not stop through the entire first period, and it was easy to see it coming. Then no time would pass before the ensuing face-off, and that's it. We're not even bothering with the face-off. We're just dropping the gloves. In the end, there would be 100 penalty minutes assessed in the first period. And by the way, the Capitals would win the game by a final score of 4-2. But in the end, that hardly even seemed as though it mattered. That was the night at the Garden last night.
Should have been handled before this game, and it wasn't. So, unfortunately, it had to be kind of on my shoulders, and I thought I took it.
And so in the end, there were 141 combined penalty minutes, 12 fighting majors, 6 10-minute misconducts. It was the first NHL game in almost 3 years where both teams recorded at least 50 penalty minutes and the third such game between the Rangers and Capitals in the last 25 years. So that was the story last night. Now to the story of the year. It's not going away. What is next for Aaron Rodgers and the Packers? We know that Rodgers wants out of Green Bay. And now, according to Adam Schefter, the Packers are getting a backup plan in place. He tweeted this just moments ago. The Packers have begun exploring quarterbacks they can add to their roster for OTAs and training camp, per sources. Jordan Love currently is the only other quarterback on the roster. But the team also faces uncertainty surrounding Aaron Rodgers. The Packers' quarterback search includes some veterans. That was Adam Schefter just moments ago. This is Rob Domofsky, our Packers reporter, and you've been covering that team for a quarter of a century, and you've seen some crazy stuff, but this has to take the cake. What can you tell us about the very latest on this saga with Aaron Rodgers?
Yeah, Greeny, you mean besides GM Brian Gutekunst calling everywhere to try to find a quarterback just to come in for OTAs and minicamp because they need a couple more arms? Well, here's another thing. Those inside the building are seething right now because they believe other teams have been tampering with Rodgers. I mean, the violations are obvious. You cannot talk about players in press conferences that are on other teams and talk about pursuing them. And the 49ers have done that. There's indications that maybe the Broncos were involved. A league source told me that the Packers have not, though, filed tampering charges yet. They tried it in 2008, Greeny, with Brett Favre, and it was so difficult to prove that the league basically just dismissed their tampering charges. But it's just another layer to the upsettingness that is this story for the Packers.
I get it, and I understand their frustration with it. It strikes me as, though that should be low on their list of concerns right now, but I understand they can do multiple things at the same time. So,
Are you starting to get any sense of what it is the Packers would need to get back in exchange for Rodgers if indeed they do wind up trading him?
Right, and that is a big if, Greeny, because they have maintained ever since Shefty broke the story that they are not trading him. That is an absolute right now. But that didn't stop me from asking a couple people around the league, and one high-ranking NFC executive told me it would be two first-round picks and a second-round pick. The thing to keep in mind, though, that may sound good on paper, right? But whoever they send Rodgers to theoretically should win 10, 11, 12, maybe even 13 games, which means those draft picks come at the end of those rounds. So maybe they would need even more than that, maybe even a player or two thrown in.
All right, that's outstanding work, as always. Rob Domofsky, thank you very much. And so let me bring the rest of my team in here for the first time this morning. Again, Chris Canty is here, Ryan Clark is there, and Kimberly Martin gets up with us as well. And Kmart, I'll start with you, because you had a bunch of stuff in the meeting this morning. I know you've been calling around like crazy. What have you been hearing?
Oh, Greeny. One personnel exec I talked to described the situation as, you know, getting rid of Michael Jordan in his prime. That's what would happen. That's what it would feel like if the Packers moved on from Aaron Rodgers. And when you ask guys, how many good years does Aaron Rodgers have? I hear back 5+ years. You know how old he'd be then? Tom Brady range, 42 years old. But he's so good that he instantly makes any team better. And I'll tell you what, another front office exec I spoke to, whose team drafted a quarterback in the first round of a recent draft, told me only two teams should not be on the phone right now, Kansas City and Tampa Bay. And he does not work for either of those teams.
All right, Ryan Clark, let's go. What do you... There's so much here to react to. I'm just going to give it to you. What in the world do you make of all this right this second?
Well, Greeny, we all know what my favorite documentary is. And I'll say this. Even Jerry Krause didn't get rid of Michael Jordan in his prime. So, Brian Gutekunst, you can't be that guy that he's calling you on text chats. You know, I think what it says right now is the Green Bay Packers understand that Aaron Rodgers is dug in. They understand how serious he truly is about whether it's this holdout that we may see coming or if it's him wanting to be traded to another team. So at least we're not delusional anymore into thinking that Aaron Rodgers is just going to break and be at practice. But now they have to start exploring trades, Greeny. They have to start seeing that if it does come to that, what are we going to do and what can we get in exchange for Aaron Rodgers? The other thing is this. Yesterday, we were talking on NFL Live and they were speaking about at least what people think the market would be was two ones and a two. So you're telling me that Aaron Rodgers is only worth one extra pick more than Jamal Adams, that Aaron Rodgers doesn't even get you that much more than you would a Matthew Stafford? And so when I start to think about those things, I think to myself, and I know I took Jeff Saturday's place today because tomorrow my daughter graduates from college, so he switched with me. So I'm going to give it to you. If the Green Bay Packers do that, they are high. And I'm talking about on that good stuff, on that legal stuff that got all kind of different strands. You cannot do that. If you get rid of Aaron Rodgers, you need to get a king's ransom. You need a quarterback, you need picks, and you need other players. And so that's what the Green Bay Packers should be doing right now, along with adding quarterbacks to the roster. Stop tripping on the tampering. We know they tamper. Everybody got cell phones. Everybody got Instagram. They hitting them up in his DMs. Just make sure you get what you're supposed to when Aaron Rodgers decides he no longer wants to be a Green Bay Packer.
I agree with that. I'm not going to accuse them of making a big deal of it, but it does strike me as though if the one thing you fixate on all of this is are other teams tampering with Aaron Rodgers, you're really burying the lead to the ultimate degree. Chris Canty, I've not had a chance to talk with you about this, big fellow. What do you think of it? This idea, I particularly thought that was interesting, what Domofsky said. Whatever team Aaron Rodgers goes to, they immediately become a legit Super Bowl contender, right?
There's no question about it. Whether he goes to the Denver Broncos, whether he goes to a team in the NFC, whoever he goes to, that team is going to be a legit contender. I mean, there's a handful of teams that you would probably say you could be dismissive of, but most, for the most part, if he goes to those other teams, they're going to be competitive at a really high level. So, yeah, those draft picks, it's not really going to amount to much in terms of being able to help your team immediately. But shame on Brian Gutekunst, because he's the one that painted the organization into this corner. Like, it's no coincidence that this information leaked the day of the draft. What better way to show how the organization poorly handled this situation than the anniversary of Aaron Rodgers being blindsided by them drafting Jordan Love and not using that draft pick to get him a little more help? So, I mean, this is one of those situations right now. I don't know that there's going to be a clean way out of this if you're the Green Bay Packers organization, but shame on Brian Gutekunst because he's the one that put that organization in there in the first place.
Go, RC.
Chris
Canty, you cannot say it is no coincidence. Adam Schefter almost jumped through the screen and tried to fight me when I said it was a fortunate coincidence. Adam Schefter hit me with the biggest ESPN, I'm the man, I got six phones, all the GM's number move. He said, I'm the one that broke the story, and it's a coincidence. Adam Schefter was 6'2 after I said it was not a coincidence. So you can't say that. All we know is this. What we know is Aaron Rodgers is an intelligent man. This was well thought out. Aaron Rodgers made sure to not do this right after the draft last year, because what did we all say? He's going to be hard to deal with. He's going to make it hell for Jordan Love. It's going to be a terrible place to be. All he did was be a good teammate, come out and play at an MVP level, and it set him up for this moment, for the moment to be the most coveted free agent, or if he gets the opportunity, the most coveted trade piece in the history of the NFL. And the Green Bay Packers better understand that too. This was calculated. It's been done in the right way by Aaron Rodgers. Don't just give him what he wants to get him out of there. Give him what he wants to get what you need, Green Bay Packers. Let's stop fighting it. Don't be Jerry Krause. Be Brian Gutekunst.
All right, we have so much more to get to. We're just starting. That is a place where everything is a mess. Let's go to a place where everybody couldn't be happier. Tampa Bay. Would Gronk trade two rings for a perfect season? He answered that question yesterday. You'll hear what he had to say. Plus, after signing with their rivals, a former Steeler appears to be throwing shade at Big Ben and Juju. The question is he right? The answer is next.
NBA fans, listen up. You've got to try Pick 6, the newest fantasy app from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Getting started is simple. Select if a player will have more or less of a stat. For example, will a player have more than one rebound, or will a player have less than 3.5 assists? Pick your favorite players and compete for huge cash prizes. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now using code PARLAY and take on the competition with your best NBA player picks. Only on DraftKings Pick 6 with code PARLAY. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including but not limited to Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date lists of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
We are back on Get Up, and you need to hear this. Former Steelers offensive tackle Alejandro Villanueva this week signed with the rival Baltimore Ravens. And yesterday, Villanueva had some interesting comments about his former team and teammates. Listen.
For us as an offensive line in Pittsburgh last year, it was incredibly challenging that we knew we had to go with these game plans that involve passing the ball potentially the entire game. And so the mentality, you know, when you have a balanced offense or when you run the ball, it's obviously better for the offensive line. I'm assuming it's not as fun for the wide receivers because they're not getting all the catches. They're making the TikToks and they're having fun on their social media.
Wow. Ryan Clark, my favorite former Steeler. What'd you think of that?
You know who's my favorite former Steeler? That guy that just talked. When we were in Miami, I got an opportunity to sit at a table with Villanueva, and he was kind of just talking about football. And I'm listening to him, and I'm like, yeah, you could tell, like, this dude's been to war. And not the type of war we try to make football be. Like, this guy is all about discipline. He's all about doing things the right way. He's all about your approach to everything. And then he talked to me about Minkah Fitzpatrick, and he goes, he's like, RC, you love this dude. From everything I've heard about you, you were all football, you worked. And so that was the way he saw it. And so for somebody like him doing TikToks, going out and getting blasted, that's not something that you want to see. Right. Doing TikToks, being the guy who's being covered when there's a pick six thrown against the Buffalo Bills. That's not something you're comfortable with. And with Juju being the leader of that room, that trickled down to Chase Claypool. Now you have his comments after the Cleveland Browns put them out of the playoffs. And so I think a guy like him like Villanueva, who is so serious about ball, who is so serious about life, these aren't things he's comfortable with. And then you add that to the losing streak you finished the season with, and he can point to some of those things and say, you know what? This isn't the way that Steeler football is supposed to be played. Now, when Ryan Clark, Greeny, your favorite former Steeler, said that, everybody hated him. Oh, he's just hating. He doesn't like this. You're the old man on the talking about get off my porch, get off my lawn. But I'm not, right? Those things aren't Steeler football, and I believe they began to affect the team. And now when you speak about the way the game is played, we all knew that, right? They weren't physical on the line, which was part of Villanueva's job. Also, Randy Fickner wasn't coaching a physical football game or run game that added to the play-action pass. This team had issues on offense, personnel-wise, schematically, and Villanueva's just saying it. He's just being honest. And what I would like to know, and I've used this on this show before, like Shireen said, who gonna check him, boo? Nobody, because ain't nobody playing with Villanueva like that.
It does have a military background for those who are not aware. What do you think, Chris? You played on that line, on the other side of the line, yeah, of course. But, I mean, the offensive linemen, they don't like it when you throw the ball 50 times a game.
No, not at all. Most offensive linemen like going forward as opposed to going backward. But there is a little shade mixed in there from Villanueva toward his former team. And it's not just directed toward Juju Smith-Schuster, because a part of his commentary was talking about players that energize offensive linemen. And, RC, I know you've been around a lot of locker rooms, so have I. Offensive linemen, when their quarterback is playing pretty good football, they seem like they're energized. And the fact that he referenced Le'Veon Bell as a guy that energized him in Pittsburgh and not Ben Roethlisberger, I don't know how you can take that as not being a shot at his former quarterback.
That's interesting. Real quick reaction to that, RC.
Well, no, I think Ben is an easy shot at sometimes. And if you talk about locker rooms, Chris, you know this. You get to know everyone, but not everyone becomes your friend. And when people become your friend, you protect them, right? You protect them in your thoughts. You protect them in the things that you share. And Ben Roethlisberger and Villanueva, they're on different wavelengths. And Ben moves in a way that's not necessarily always comfortable to everyone. But having Le'Veon Bell energize the offensive line is about his energy and about what he brings to the game. And obviously those two players, those two people are extremely different.
All right, hold that thought. We'll come back to it because we had history made in baseball yesterday, and we need to get to that right now. The performance of the day belonged to John Means of the Orioles, taking on the Mariners. Bottom of three, he's got a perfect game going, then facing Sam Haggerty. And then we got a swing, we got a miss on strike three, but the ball gets away, and Haggerty reaches on a wild pitch. That breaks up the perfect game. The no-hitter is still in play, and it would stay that way. Bottom of nine, Means two outs away from the no-no, strikes out Haggerty this time, so he's one out away from a no-hitter. The next batter is J.P. Crawford, and there it goes. Nine innings, zero hits, 12 strikeouts, just the one dropped third strike that separated him from the perfect game. It's the first individual no-hitter for an Orioles pitcher since Hall of Famer Jim Palmer in 1969. As the O's win at 6-0, the third no-hitter thrown in the bigs this year, the 55th time in history that at least three no-hitters have been thrown in a season. That doesn't even include the seven innings of no-hit ball that Madison Bumgarner threw that don't count as a no-hitter because it was only a seven-inning game. Let's talk about that with the one and only Tim Kirchner, who gets up with us early here this morning. Timmy, so we're seeing all of these no-hitters. To what do you attribute that, so many of these so early in the season?
Well, the pitching today, Greeny, is like nothing I've ever seen. The stuff that these guys have is absolutely ridiculous. Everybody throws 95 miles an hour or above, it seems. And every single one of these great pitchers has a wipeout secondary pitch or two. So with John Means, he throws 94 miles an hour, but he has a changeup that nobody can hit. And that's why we have three no-hitters already. Plus, our hitters have to make an adjustment now. The game has told them it's okay if you strike out a million times. We just want you to get the ball up in the air. We have lost the value of the hit in the game today. That's why April we had 1,092 more strikeouts than hits. That's not a good sign.
No, and I believe that record is going to be broken this year. You saw from Hembo there, the record is eight no-hitters. While I have you, let me ask you a couple of other things. Giancarlo Stanton right now is red hot, an 11-game hitting streak. The Yankees have won 10 out of 13. What are we seeing in Stanton right now?
Well, this is the best I've seen him swing the bat since his MVP season with the Marlins. He's hitting over 300. He's slugging almost 600. He hits the ball harder than anyone in the game today. But we did their game the other night. He got four hits, including two to the opposite field. He's staying back on the ball. This is critical for him to put the ball in play more often, because when he does, good things always happen.
And then finally, today we are wishing a happy 90th birthday to arguably the greatest player that ever lived, Willie Mays. What is your favorite Willie Mays story?
Well, Joe Torre told me that Willie Mays was such a great hitter that one at bat, he decided, I'm going to distract Willie and talk to him during the at bat. It was about a restaurant or something. And while Willie was carrying on a conversation with Joe Torre, he hit a ball over the fence for a home run, and he just kind of turned to Torre on his way to first base and said, I'll finish that story later. And Joe Torre told me the story where Bill White of the Cardinals, the first baseman, was invited to Willie's house for dinner in the offseason. And Bill invited Bob Gibson, the best pitcher in the game, over to his house. So they get there. Gibson wears glasses in the offseason. They get to the door. Willie Mays sees Bill White and says, hi, Bill. And he looks at Bob Gibson and says, who's that? And Bill White said, Willie, that's Bob Gibson. And Willie said, you wear glasses? You wear glasses, but you don't pitch with your glasses on? What are you, crazy? You're going to kill somebody. That's who Willie Mays is. He's got a great relationship with teammates and with opponents.
90 years young today. Timmy, you're the best. Thanks for getting up. Great to see you. Tim Kirchin with us here as we roll on with Get Up. Coming up, is an undefeated season possible in Tampa? Wait until you hear what Gronk had to say when I asked him about the pursuit of perfection. And then, how long until we see Trey Lance starting in San Francisco? The comment that got everyone's attention. That's on the way. It's Get Up on ESPN.
Delicious, meat nutritious, and the snack that packs a real protein punch. Wonderful pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Wonderful pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you're on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries. Well, the good news is, not only are Wonderful pistachios a complete protein, providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut, or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snacking game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more.
Let's play a little game of more or less. Kimberly Martin, I'm starting with you. The Patriots, more or less than 9.5 wins.
I'm going to go less, Greeny, because they won 7 games last year, so you think conventional wisdom says they'll win more. I think they will win more, but more like 8, maybe 9. I got to see more from Cam Newton. I know they upgraded the roster, but the Cam to Mac Jones transition, I want to see that play out before I think 9.5 games.
Very interesting. Canty, I'm coming to you. Cowboys, 9.5 wins, more or less.
I'm going to say more, Greeny, and I know we say this every year about the Dallas Cowboys, how this is going to be their year. But if their defense could just improve a little bit, then I have a lot of confidence that this team is going to win the division and be in the playoffs. If you look at what Dan Quinn did when he left Seattle and inherited one of the worst defenses in the Atlanta Falcons, that defense went from worst in the league to 16th. If the Cowboys can have that kind of improvement, look out.
Not you two. RC, Tampa Bay Buccaneers, more or less, 11.5 wins.
I'm going to say
over that. Who made
that
line, Greeny?
It's got to be over that, RC. It's got to be.
RC.
Yeah, who made that line? Way more. I mean, like, way, way more. Like, almost way. Double that more by the end of the season. I mean, they play 17 games. You can win 16, 15, maybe 17 of those. And then you add the playoff games they win on the way to the Super Bowl. It might be like 20. I can't. Who made that? Like, they just trying to lose money in Vegas now, man. Golly.
It's interesting that you should say that. Because yesterday, I had Rob Gronkowski on my radio show. Now, you heard the comments that Tom Brady made about saying he would trade 2 of his Super Bowl rings for an unbeaten season. I asked Gronk about that. Here's what he said.
I don't want to trade in any because I think there's a chance, you know, in my life to be on a team like that. So I don't feel like I don't have to trade in any Super Bowl ring. So I see in the future that I have a chance, you know, to be on a team like that. So I ain't trading any rings in. I just got to keep going for it.
Ryan Clark, did Rob Gronkowski just suggest he thinks the Buccaneers can go unbeaten this season?
You absolutely right, because guess what? We don't foresee Gronk trying to even play as long as Tom Brady is trying to play. So you know what he said? He said we got all 22 plus back. Because remember, they got the 22 back, and then they added some people, and Antonio Brown came back. So Rob Gronkowski said, you know what, Tom? Let's keep all the rings we've won already, because we're about to get an undefeated season right now. And it's so hard, y'all, to predict an undefeated season. But here is what I'll say. I feel like the Tampa Bay Buccaneers will only lose games this year that they want to. That's how good, confident, and how much chemistry this team is going to have this year. To bring back all the people, for guys to not go chase money, to come back to the same place where it started, where you won it last year, the way that this team seemed to perform down the stretch, I believe that it's extremely possible. I wouldn't bet on it, but if it happened, I won't be surprised.
Is it? Wow, that's more credibility to it than I would have expected. Canty, what do you think?
Yeah, RC got to chill out on that one. There's no way that the Tampa Bay Bucs are going undefeated, even if they are bringing the band back together. There's a reason why there's only one team in the Super Bowl era that's been able to pull it off, the 1972 Dolphins. That being said, I love where this Tampa Bay Buccaneers team is at. I love what Tom Brady has done in terms of changing the culture in there. I can love all of those things, but I can still acknowledge that it's going to be hard to go undefeated. And adding another regular season game to it just gives the teams around the NFL another chance to knock them off.
RC.
Excuse me. When did Chris Canty turn into Dan Graziano? When did he want to come on the show, stop all the fun with his facts and stuff? That's why nobody's ever done it since 1972 Dolphins. Last year, people were predicting the Kansas City Chiefs might do it. They just lost to the Raiders. I mean, why can't the Tampa Bay Buccaneers do it? The New England Patriots won 16 with this same quarterback. No, I would only talk this way to Chris when I was on my TVU, because obviously if we were in person, his size would probably intimidate me into being nicer. But since we are away, Chris, you need to know, when you're on the show with me, logic and facts and history don't matter. We are going for the now. And in the now, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers are good enough to make this happen.
All right, Kmart, let me put it this way to you. All right, so there's 17 regular season games, which would give them the number one seed, and then three more for the Super Bowl. So over under 19 and a half wins for the Bucs. Which way do we go?
I say under. Listen, I think they could repeat as Super Bowl champions, but this whole undefeated thing, I would love to be 19 again. I would love to have a skinnier waist. I would love to know how to cook. All these things I would love, but are just not going to happen in my lifetime. This is just a thing that's not going to happen, and it's fine. They're still going to be good. They could still win the Super Bowl, but them going undefeated, it's not going to happen, RC. And I know they're probably going to hear this and be like, this girl, what is she talking about? But no, it's not going to happen.
Okay, fair enough. The likelihood of it, of course, not very high. Orlovsky has already called for the possibility of it. Gronk is talking about it. We will see where all that winds up going. Meanwhile, that's one group of Bucks that we've been talking about. Let's talk about another group of Bucks. How about the Milwaukee Bucks? Game of the night last night. Giannis and the Bucks taking on the Wizards. Russell Westbrook and Bradley Beal. Spectacular. Fourth quarter, under 90 to play. Wizards down by 4. Westbrook, Beal. Beal, throw it down, big fella, with authority. Beal throwing it down for 2 of his 42 on the night. Next possession, Beal, Mr. Outside, as well as Mr. Inside. Knocking down a 3. We got a good game. 14 seconds to go. Milwaukee up by 2. Jrue Holiday probing, stepping back. 3, no good. Brook Lopez. Oh, the offensive rebound on the putback. Milwaukee up by 4. Other end, 7 seconds left. Get used to that combination. Westbrook to Beal. Beal for 3. It's good. Wizards down by 1. Stay with the play. I want you to watch what happens on the ensuing inbounds. That's Raul Neto. He's got the steal they need, but the foot is on the line. Take another look at just how close they are to getting the defensive play. they need. And so instead, they get this, the Bucks inbounding. It's up and good. This is the Wizards' last chance to win it, the fling, and it's not there. Westbrook would score 29, 17 assists, 12 boards. The Bucks win it 135-134 in a good one. And so here's a look at the Eastern Conference standings, where the Sixers sit atop everybody with a two-game lead over the Nets. Milwaukee right now, the three seed, three games back. Our basketball power index gives the Sixers a 95% chance to get the one seed. And so here again is Jay Will from KJZ across the hall, ESPN Radio, coast to coast. So we see the Eastern Conference standings, but I just want you to look at this number. I want everyone to just sort of focus on this for a minute, because we keep talking about the Brooklyn Nets as though they're an unstoppable machine. They have played seven games together this season. Seven. Let's make it clear. James Harden has played more games this year with the Rockets than he has with KD and Kyrie Irving together. Is that no factor? Doesn't that have to matter when we get to the playoffs?
What's KD's number? Seven?
I mean,
their whole thing around 7-11, seven's like their special number?
Yeah.
I mean, it's going to be seven games going into the playoffs because James Harden is not coming back for the last couple games of the season. I'm not worried about the Nets. I'm not. You know why? I'm not worried about them defensively. Outscore them, Greeny. Outscore Kyrie Irving, James Harden, and Kevin Durant. Three of the most prolific scorers we have in the game. They're in the top 10 prolific scorers in the game. Outscore them. Outscore them. I don't think any team in the Eastern Conference is going to outscore them. There is one team, though, that defensively might try to muck it up that can make a difference, though. And I think that's the 76ers.
All right. So that was going to be my next stop. If indeed you still believe, again, I'm having a hard time wrapping my mind around the fact that they will play seven games together and be the favorites in the conference. Okay. But they are. I accept that, and I don't disagree with you. You're telling me Philly is their biggest opposition?
So there was something that happened the other night, and I know a lot of people at home are like, oh, how are you going to take this quote by this star player and utilize it towards having Philadelphia in the NBA Eastern Conference Championship? But look, I understand that people are going to be complimentary about Kevin Durant, right? But like, this is a game about I'm trying any way possible, Greeny, to beat you to the white meat. I have to beat you. I have to go through you. When Giannis said, oh, why would I go out with Kevin Durant? He's one of the best players of all time. Blah, blah. No, I don't want to hear that from you, Giannis. You think Joel Embiid's going to say that about Kevin Durant or James Harden? You think Ben Simmons? Did you hear what Ben Simmons said about the Nets before? I mean, I'm waiting for the 76ers and the Nets to have the rivalry that the NBA needs the Eastern Conference to have. This will be old school Eastern Conference basketball because these two teams will end up not liking each other when it's all said and
done. So Mike Breen was on ESPN Radio the other day. He said he could see three teams coming out of the East: the Sixers, the Bucks, the Nets. Put them in order as far as likelihood. Give me the order of likelihood you could see of those three teams coming out of the East.
Gonna blow your mind right now. I mean, look, I still think the Nets can do it. But I would go 76ers, I would go Nets, then I would go Bucks.
So you're getting the Sixers the nod over the Nets.
I think the Sixers defensively, even though as gifted as the scoring is for the Nets, and I'm a Nets fan, it's different. It's different. If Joel Embiid is playing like Joel Embiid, it's different considering the lack of continuity and familiarity for the Brooklyn Nets.
Now, the Nets have the stars, but maybe the Sixers has the MVP. All right, he is Jay Will, KJZ, coast to coast every morning on ESPN Radio. Thank you, Jay.
You got it, Greeny. Good hands.
How about that? Greeny getting it done. Here's our NBA Friday doubleheader on ESPN and the app. It's chock full of playoff implications. The Celtics square off against the Bulls, 7:30 Eastern. Then you get AD and the Lakers in Portland to take on Dame and the Blazers. That's coming your way tomorrow night right here on ESPN. Meanwhile, coming up, you traded three first-round picks to get them. Would the 49ers really keep Trey Lance on the bench for 2 years? Wait until you hear what one voice who matters had to say. Plus, the Bears made the playoffs last year with Mitchell Trubisky. Could Justin Fields lead them back this year? That's the question. The answer's next. It's Get Up on ESPN.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back.
Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
We are back with our award-winning new feature called Can He or Can't-y with Chris Canty. Here we go. Chris, can Tom Brady win two more Super Bowls? Can he or can't he?
I'm going to say he can, G, and the reason why I'm saying that is until Tom Brady falls off a cliff, I'm not going to doubt him. I'm going to be the last one to that party to say that Tom Brady can accomplish something, but the Tampa Bay Buccaneers organization bringing the entire supporting cast back, giving Tom Brady exactly what he wants, there's no reason to think that he can't go out there and play at a high level, not only in 2021, but also in 2022.
My goodness, that would mean he was winning a Super Bowl at the age of 45 at youngest. Meanwhile, speaking of young, can Justin Fields lead the Bears to the playoffs? Can he or can't he?
I'm going to say he can, and I know Justin Fields is a rookie. There's going to be a learning curve that comes along with playing quarterback in the National Football League. But Ryan Pace and Matt Nagy are desperate, and I have every confidence that they're going to do everything within their ability to try to help their young quarterback be a difference maker. The Bears had the worst quarterback play in the division last year, so there's nowhere to go but up. They've got a defense that's ready to win. It's just a matter of Justin Fields making the plays. I'm going to bet he can.
All right, and then one more. Can Dak Prescott lead the Cowboys to the Super Bowl? Can he or can't he?
Greeny, we say it every offseason. The Cowboys are going to the Super Bowl, but I honestly believe that they have a legitimate chance. Like, listen, paying Dak Prescott and putting that drama to the side is only going to help everybody in that locker room, everybody around that organization. And then the addition of Dan Quinn as a defensive coordinator, coupled with the fact that they invested heavily on the defensive side of the ball in the draft, 8 out of their 11 draft picks were on defense. I feel like the Dallas Cowboys will improve drastically there. And if their defense is just average, this is absolutely a playoff team.
My goodness, you too. I have this fight with everybody. I got to deal with Marcus on
this. Well, Greeny, you're betting on Ryan Fitzpatrick taking the Washington football team to the playoffs, and he ain't been to the playoffs in 17 years.
I will say this. If Dan Quinn can turn that defense around, he's the most underpaid person in all of sports. Meanwhile, the Cowboys getting into the playoffs would be a team that missed it last year that got in this year. So I want everyone to give me one team that was not in the playoffs last season that will make it this season. Ryan Clark, I start with you.
It's going to be the Denver Broncos, Greeny. They got, you know, you have Cortland Sutton, you have Jerry Jeudy, you draft Javonte Williams. Oh, and your quarterback is going to be Aaron Rodgers. So you heard what they said earlier. If Aaron Rodgers is on your team, then your team wins 10, 11, 12 games. Those picks won't mean a thing. And that's exactly what's going to happen. When Aaron Rodgers becomes the quarterback of the Denver Broncos, which I expect to happen in, you know, mid-August, late August, Adam Schefter will be reporting on it. And then that team immediately becomes one of the number one competitors for the Kansas City Chiefs.
Absolutely. Kimberly Martin, you are next. Give me a team that didn't make it last year that's going to make it this year.
Greeny, I'm going to go with the Miami Dolphins. Why? Because Chris Greer and Brian Flores. I believe in them. They've got the QB in Tua. They had an A-plus draft, taking Waddle, a Notre Dame offensive lineman, and Eichenberg. Who doesn't love a Notre Dame offensive lineman? I mean, this team is stacked on offense and defense now. I think this division, the Dolphins are going to give the Bills a run. That's my opinion.
Plus, Jalen Phillips, if he stays healthy on that defensive line, might have been the best defensive player in this entire draft. Chris Canty, a team that missed it last year that's going to make it this year.
Greeny, for me, it's the Chargers. They had a top 10 defense, top 10 offense from a year ago. They fortified that offensive line by bringing over Corey Linsley, Matt Flair, and then adding Rashawn Slater at the top of the draft. Then they've got the opportunity to have the NFC East on their schedule so they can get fat against that division. But yeah, I really love the Chargers. It seems like they're ready to go. As long as their new head coach doesn't screw it up, this is absolutely going to be a playoff team.
I'm with that. And a reminder to everyone, there will be an additional playoff team in each conference this year. So you don't even have to take someone out. to put someone new in. I asked the staff if I could just have a picture of Aaron Rodgers' face under my name, because wherever he goes, he would put them in the playoffs. I was told we can't do that. So just for fun, I'll put the Raiders, because that's the other team that people are talking about. And Aaron Rodgers would make – Ryan Clark, I'm looking at you as I say this. Aaron Rodgers would make the Raiders a Super Bowl contender, as awful as that defense is and as completely mismanaged as some people think that team is. You put Rodgers on that team, I think they're a legit contender.
You know what? I don't know
that. Don't do that to Rodgers.
I want to say that he is, but I don't know that. If he goes to the Raiders, that's a place I don't want him to go, Greeny, because what I keep telling myself, as much as I love Aaron Rodgers, right, as much as is my favorite, most hated story all at the same time, Aaron Rodgers still only been to one Super Bowl, y'all. And when he went to that Super Bowl, he had an elite defense. Not good, elite. And so just throwing him anywhere, it gets you more wins, mm-hmm. but it doesn't necessarily make you a Super Bowl contender.
Oh, there you go with your facts and all of your information spoiling my fun.
Facts. And
Chris Canty rubbing off.
That's my job, RC. That's my job.
The next up is San Francisco. Let's talk about them and their draft and what can only be described as the moment that sort of shook up everything. The 49ers, of course, taking Trey Lance right there with the third overall pick. Jed York is the CEO of the team. He was talking yesterday about Lance's path to the field, even if it means sitting 2 years.
If he doesn't play until he's 23, but he's got a 15-plus year career, we're trying to build out a team that can compete for a championship today and can compete for a championship over a period of time. If we are in a situation where Jimmy goes out and takes us to the Super Bowl again and has an MVP caliber season, there are worse dilemmas to be in. And Jimmy certainly has the ability to do that.
So we all listened to that and all of our eyebrows raised. And then Kimberly Martin, you gave us the patented eye roll. What is your reaction?
You know, I'm so sick. This is just lying to reporters season. It's just the draft is just continuing. Just lie to us. Lie to us. I'm not listening to any of that because he told us what he thought when they moved up, gave up all that capital to get Trey Lance. They didn't want Jimmy G as their quarterback. So, but he's got to say it. I get it. I'll play the game. Fine.
Okay. So that's interesting. So in your view, RC, let me come to you. Who do you believe is the starting quarterback when the season begins in San Francisco?
Jimmy Garoppolo. I don't believe that he should be, but I believe that he will be. I mean, if you've looked at everything that's been said there, Jimmy Garoppolo has said all the right things. Jed York has said what he felt would put the least pressure on Trey Lance, the least pressure on Kyle Shanahan. Mm-hmm. My issue is this. Don't let being good enough, don't let having a solid season, which you can with Jimmy G, keep you from reaching for the ceiling, keep you from trying to be great, which is the reason you went to number three and you drafted Trey Lance. It's not about how can we field a team that can be competitive. It's how can we field a team that can bring back the days of Joe Montana, bring back the days of Steve Young. And that's not who Jimmy Garoppolo is. Don't allow him to be a placeholder because you are comfortable with him. Trey Lance needs reps. The only way to get better at quarterbacking is to quarterback, and he needs those opportunities. And so let's stop with all this pressure. Like, it's just like they don't want to bust pipes and they don't want to make diamonds because they're putting no pressure on their coach or their quarterback. They cannot have another losing season with Jimmy Garoppolo or another average season. This is Trey Lance's team. Move forward with him knowing that, empowering him, and turning him into the star he has to be because of how you moved up and where you drafted him.
Yeah, I think that's right. So let me ask the question to you, Chris, this way. Because that's a team that if they all come back healthy, I mean, that defense was just ravaged by injury.
Yeah.
They all come back healthy. They're thinking Super Bowl thoughts. Do they have a better chance of getting to the Super Bowl this year with Garoppolo or Lance at quarterback?
No, I'm going to say it's Trey Lance because he has the higher ceiling when you look at the two players. That's why Kyle Shanahan moved from 12 to 3, gave up 3 first-round draft picks and a third rounder to put themselves in position. They go through all of this smokescreen in the pre-draft process just to make sure their guy was there. Because guess what? Kyle Shanahan and John Lynch, they're looking around the landscape of the NFC West. They're looking at all the other quarterbacks, Kyler Murray, Matt Stafford, and Russell Wilson, and they're saying Jimmy G ain't good enough. We need a quarterback that's capable of being able to make some of those second reaction plays, some of those off-platform throws. And I think Trey Lance brings that to Kyle Shanahan's offense. So just the physical skill set leads me to believe that it's going to be Trey Lance, not Jimmy Garoppolo, that leads this team back to the playoffs.
Yeah, Kimberly, we'll never know, but I continue to believe if Mac Jones hadn't fallen to the Patriots, that Jimmy Garoppolo would have gotten traded to New England at some point along the way. That won't, most likely won't happen now, so we'll see how it plays out with him. Do you think he's even still there?
I think he'll start the season, but he won't be the starter for very long.
Okay, fair enough. That's Kimberly Martin with the very latest. We got so much to come as we continue here. Plus, a reminder that we have the NCAA Beach Volleyball Championships coming your way this weekend from Gulf Shores, Alabama. 8 straight hours of early round coverage. It starts tomorrow morning, 10 a.m. Eastern on ESPNU and on the app. The national championship match is Sunday, 1:30 Eastern on ESPN2. Coming up, what will it cost to get Aaron Rodgers away from the Packers? And wait until you hear the comparison one executive made about the mess in Green Bay. It's on the way. It's Get Up on ESPN.